Blog Talk Radio.
Here I am.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. How's everyone doing? Yes, we are here tonight on Point of Impact. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulullah mubad. And what I just said, y'all, in English, is we seek refuge in God from Satan's projector. In the name of Allah, God. And I said all praise and thanks be to God, Allah. And surely may the praise and salutation be upon the Prophet Muhammad and to proceed. I want to thank you all, and I give praise and glorification for you all being here tonight. I want to thank Allah God for blessing my partner, my protege, my mentor, my sister, Krista, our host. Krista, you want to say hello to everybody?
Hello, hello. Peace and blessings to everyone.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. That's baby sis, y'all. I tell you, she's something serious. Don't mess around, Jack. Don't let that softness fool you, Jack. But listen, we here tonight. We represent, of course, Community United Focus Cuffs, and, of course, Freedom Over Everything, FOE. We in the house. We doing what we do, y'all. Yeah, this is a family affair. You know what I'm saying? We want to give a special shout-out to Stop the Violence team, for their wonderful job this weekend. Brother Bilal and his team and his wonderful team, we matter, all of those beautiful people who participated in the event, man, at the Youth Forum, at the Croc Center. I want to thank the Salvation Army Croc Center, man. Those people are really, really wonderful people for giving us that venue to and that platform to be able to have such a wonderful event. We really have a lot to talk about today. Alhamdulillah, many of you may have known who are on social network that I personally was affected by gun violence, but not in the manner in which you may think. I want to give, and I would ask everybody here to make supplication for my family, for my cousin, Latanya Mitchell, and for the loss of her son, Joshua. And, please, we appreciate you. And I definitely ask you, to support them with prayers, okay? Right now, sisters, is there anything you want to let some people, you want to thank some people for, anybody you want to mention from the weekend?
No, my weekend was pretty quiet. You know, I did have a winery event that I went to. So Lake Hannah Winery, they did. I went out there and did some volunteer work for Lakeside, Lake Anna Winery, and they showed love, and they're awesome. So that's about it.
Careful with all that spirit drink, girl.
I was pouring.
You was the pouring? Okay.
Yeah. I was getting
pouring. Yeah, you. Hey, you gotta be careful with that too now. Hey, but look, hey man. Yeah, it's been a rough. And the crazy thing, you know, guys, we had the forum talking about gun violence and stopping gun violence. In 4 hours, we stopped at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I think, 5 o'clock. Later on that night, I was on my way home from the store, from the shop, and visiting some family of mine, and I'm going back home down Princess Anne, and I stopped in Wawa's. I literally stopped in Wawa's, turned out of Wawa's, went down the street, came back up the street on Princess Anne, and by the time I was coming up the street, sis, they had an incident out there of a shooting of a young man. And it was crazy. I seen all these people. And now this took place. Check this, how ironic this is. This took place a block away from where we just had the event at the Croc Center. And
wow.
While I was going through all of that and going through the event, sadly, my own family was going through a tragedy. You know what I'm saying? Like, now, I know a lot of people may not agree with this, but I do want to have a discussion about another topic, too. I want to talk about suicide impacting our community and drugs. And also, if we get time, I also want to talk about the domestic violence that has been you know, real prevalent lately with guns being used to, you know, retaliate because somebody done got a broken heart. It's ridiculous, you know. But the thing that disturbed me, sis, last night was while I was in my own situation, I was literally, my family was going through a tragedy. You know what I'm saying? My family was going through a tragedy that I had no knowledge of. And it just really, really broke my heart. And I just believe, now, a lot of you may not agree with this, but my feelings, honestly, is like, I mean, I'm kind of, I know what I'm about to say may be contrast, but it's really what I feel would be necessary. It's just we have a government where we can't trust. So what I'm saying is I believe guns should be taken completely off the streets. I believe no police should carry guns. I believe no citizens should carry guns. And that way, you know, that alleviates a lot of the, you know, violence that takes place that, you know, lives are just being lost at. Now, a lot of people may not agree with that. But when you look at, you know, what is the driving force behind, see, what I understand, and I'm not shooting any shade at white people, I'm just keeping 100. You know, most white people raise their kids, man, you know, learning how to handle, like you were saying earlier when me and you was having this discussion, sis, most white people, they train their kids how to go out and hunt, how to handle guns, while they're youth, while they're young people.
Right. Right.
You know, most American, African, and brown people, we don't train our children the responsibility of how to handle a gun and what a gun can do. Because, see, if you take a child and you take them out in the woods and you teach him how to handle a gun and he shoots a rabbit or shoots a deer, he realizes the damage that that gun can do immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm
right.
saying? So now, as he grows, his attentiveness towards the application of a gun is something that he realizes is of an extreme. You understand what I'm saying? And because he's seen what it does. So now he's less likely, it would definitely be the last resort that he would resort to killing somebody, you know, because he knows what's going to happen. And with the, you know, so that's just my feelings. How you feel about that, sis?
You already know. We had the discussion earlier. I kind of disagree with you because, you know, you disarm us, we're left vulnerable. And that's exactly what they want, us to be vulnerable. Because, like you said, they can talk to their kids from a young age. Now, how to responsibly use a gun is what we need to be taught. We need to talk the responsibilities that come with having that type of equipment. But to take it from us, it's kind of like you leaving us. What else do we have? We don't have much already.
Okay.
So disarming us is going to most definitely, it's kind of like we'll be like ants. You can step on us anytime you want to step on us.
Right.
As long as we have that, that's our security. Every capacity, that's our security. Now, some of us are reckless with it. Some white people are reckless with it. And some white people wait for opportunity to use it. So some black people wait for opportunity to use it. And some people protect families, what they have, their possessions, and everything with it. So we just have to be more responsible and be taught to be more responsible. It's unfortunate that, you know, they only highlight the ones that are not responsible, and we only see the damage that it does. We don't see the good in being armed. We don't see nobody displaying the good of being, you know, taught how to use a gun or any type of weapon properly. We don't see those people.
Right.
Those people don't need to be seen. They only highlight things when things go wrong.
Yeah, because they just Yeah, they're damaging the so-called mission. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
But it put a sour taste in your mouth about guns. And that's what they want to do. They want to put a sour taste in your mouth about guns so that you can say, let's dismantle or let's disarm the population. So then they'll be easier for them to exterminate us whenever they want.
But what do you say to that, sis, when you got nations like Britain, other nations that don't have guns in their community, yet they have a lower crime rate of murder than we do? America has the highest crime rate of gun violence. America has the highest crime rate of gun violence throughout the world.
You know, we do reports, we do census, we do a lot of tallying up.
Yeah.
But until you really walk those people's streets, until you really see what really goes on, I can't go by what we say. And that's another thing. It's all smokes and screens, what they want you to believe. I work in the Asian population for years. My boss was Asian, and she said, "I'm so scared of y'all because y'all do the most, and you know, y'all are so wild and y'all are so scary." So she told me, you know, she was robbed. Was robbed by a black man. So I typed on Google, Asian man robbing a black woman. And I said, it goes on and y'all do it the same way. And I showed her the video. She said, oh, but that's just one person, though. Well, you can't judge all of us by one man's actions.
One person.
So,
that's right.
Right. So I can't believe that Britain, where you say, don't have any crimes going on or any weapons or anything.
No, I don't
believe that.
I'm not saying they don't have any crime. I'm saying their crime rate is much, when it comes to violence, like they have a ratio of violence there. Don't get me wrong. You know?
Right.
But what I'm saying is the crime rate of gun violence and violence by gun, which takes a large population of people out, is not very prevalent there. You understand? And they have proven that it has brought some success to, you know, keeping the community from harming themselves, you know? Now, I do agree, though, you know, that I would not like to feel vulnerable, you know what I'm saying, like that. But I'm really feeling like, though, right now, when you walk down, right now, if you go down to the beach, which is supposed to be a family vacation area, okay, you will see people, women and men, and mostly you're going to see black people with guns on their hips.
Yeah, because I remember when I was young and I went down to the beach and there were police officers on horses patrolling the beach, making sure no fights were in. But that was like back in the day, that was where you pop off. You know, everything popped off on the strip for the beach.
Nowhere is safe.
I got to fight at the beach and da da da. Yeah, me too. I got to fight last year. Da da da. That was the talk. Now people are like, I'm trying to have a peaceful vacation, and I can't even do that in peace unless I'm carrying.
Right.
Like
unless I'm carrying. But for me, a person who is unable to carry a gun, it makes me feel very uneasy. Very uneasy. It's like I'm in combat mode. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just edgy. Yeah. You know? It's like, it's crazy. Look, hey, Jason,
you might need to go to that place. What do you say, Britain? You might need to go over there.
I might need to get a ticket. I'm trying to get my ticket to go to St. Mark's. That's where I'm trying to go.
Okay.
Hey, Jay, sir, we got anybody trying to get in and talk?
Oh, hold on one second. Hello.
Yep.
776.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
You live.
Yeah, this is Steve Padgett. Stop.
Okay, Mr. Steve, how you doing?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
It's great. I love hearing you talk, man. I love it. The show's great.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm so grateful for your...
I want to tell my story, too. Okay?
Okay. Well, why don't you tell the people who you are, Mr. Steve? Who are you and what you represent?
Okay, I'm Steve Padgett from Norfolk, Ghent. No, I'm 77 years old. I'm from the D.C. area. I grew up there. I taught high school in Southeast D.C. But back in the 70s. And so I was influenced back in those days. I was influenced by the Black Panthers. And they really brought me onto the side of the people in general, you know, because they were such a powerful group, but and I was influenced by that because I never liked the fact the way, you know, Black people were treated. I never liked it ever. And they brought me on board because, you know, they were a nonviolent group.
Right.
And with great prophetic people like Freddie Hampton. I mean, these people were amazing. And they killed them all. It's just horrible.
Yes, sir.
It was just horrible. And I guess, you know, and ever since then, I've always, like, you know, been supportive of the African-Americans in this country. And, the thing that I have come to understand is that the system really, like, has been very successful at keeping the African Americans down, and and it's not like, you know, I mean, the African American communities. I mean, you know, they're good communities generally, right? You know, they do their things. They, you know, all these things go on there, and I was never really much part of that until recently, and it's nice, you know, in a way.
Right.
I mean, I like it better than, like, over here in Ghent. I mean, they don't really have as good a community, I don't think.
Mr. Steve, let me ask something, because you're a member of the Stop the Violence team, right?
Right, yeah. I've been doing that for almost 2 years with Bilal.
That's right. And I want to thank you for your contribution to the event yesterday. Thank you so much. So you played a big role in making that happen. So how do you see the relevance of the importance of removing guns from, you know, the society? How do you think the gun violence can stop? I mean, what do you think can implement reducing the gun violence?
Well, one thing you just said, training. Training in gun safety. I don't think you're going to be able to take the guns away. And, I mean, there's a strong temptation to say, well, just take all the guns out of the Black community. But that's not the right answer.
Right. That's right.
And, although, you know, that's maybe an immediate response when you see, like, all these senseless things. But nonetheless, the country itself as a whole is having big problems. But the thing is that people don't understand so much in the Black community that I understand is that they have been systematically suppressed for the last 400 years in ways that a lot of people don't have any sense of, because it's done, you know, it's always done for the good of the people, right? But but in fact, they've done, you know, I mean, first off, you know, because the Jamaican, you know, the Jamaican Americans, you know, they're different. They're different because they had a different history. But the history of the people, you know, the African American people, is like, you know, right here in Norfolk, hundreds of people, you know, is a much different history. And and it's been, there's been a systematic suppression. I mean, for one, you know, the mass incarceration during the 80s and 90s. I remember when that was happening, and I was just like, how can they, you know, how can they be putting all these black men in jail? It's like for nothing, you know, for nonviolent crime. Well, because, you know, that's what they did. It was, you know, it's much easier to catch a nonviolent person than it is to catch a violent person. So they,
That's right.
So they do that. They put all these, you know, they put all the best, some of the best African American men. They they just lock them up.
Okay.
They lock them up back in the 80s and 90s. This is the one thing, point I want to make, and I'm not trying to be, you know, in any way condescending or anything, but
Joe Biden was
a big contributor to that, a big advocate for locking up all the black people as he could, they could lock up, and now they're voting for him. And so it's like, to me, it's like, are you crazy? No, I mean, you know, to me, it's like, I would never vote for Joe Biden. I hate Joe Biden. So I don't vote for that. I mean, Trump, as bad as Trump is, he's better than Biden. And
let me tell you another thing.
I would like, it's going to take African Americans to help us all to get out of this mess. They have to be leaders to get us out, because they've been on, you know, they've been on the receiving end of this system, which isn't, which is just going after everybody now. I mean, it doesn't even, like, race doesn't even matter anymore. They just want to get put, you know, they just want to the rule.
You made a lot of good, valid points, Mr. Steve. And and one of the things is that, like, I respectfully, because I know you're a man of a lot of wisdom. You have been in the system. You've worked in the school system for a lot of years in Southeast D.C. And you are a person of great scholar. You mean, you did for quite a few years. So you're actually a scholar in that area. But it's just, you know, for the people in general, you know what I'm saying? The impacts of gun violence and the violence that is taking place in our communities is unprecedented. It's something that we have never, to right now it's on a scale that has never been seen before. Never. Okay? And we just have to do some. Jay Sean, do we have anybody else calling in that might want to add on so we can move on to the next topic?
Not at this time.
Well, let me just rebuttal to what I heard him say. And this is a takeaway, something that we definitely can take away from what Mr. Steve said. He said that it's going to take black people, it's going to take us to save the world, right? Because now it's not about color.
The country.
And it's not about color, right, anymore. So the fact that it's not about color anymore, it just goes back to saying the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So our day will come again.
Okay. Ooh, I like that.
And you
okay,
know,
let's,
one
oh,
more thing.
We got to move on to. We
got to
move on.
One more thing I got to say, and that, you know, Freddie Hampton said it, and he said, and I heard him say it, and he said, you know, he said, we're not a racist organization, talking about the Black Panthers, because we understand that this is not racism is not the problem, he said. He said, racism is just an excuse for capitalism. He said that. And I completely,
okay.
So profound, because Martin Luther King said the same thing in different words. He said, you know, this country is going to turn on its own people eventually if they don't get their act together. And then he's talking about everybody. And that's what we're seeing today.
All right, and I appreciate you, Mr. Steve. You know, you like my home fan, man. I appreciate you. Ready to do, Jason, do we got anybody else that called in? Hello?
Yeah, one second.
Hello? Okay. All right.
7903.
Hello?
Yes, hi, how you doing?
I'm fine. Who are we speaking to?
Latisha.
Okay. This is Latisha.
Yes, it is. How you doing?
Girl, if you don't stop acting crazy. Hey, listen. Hey, Ms. Latisha, you want to tell the people who you are and what you represent?
Yes, my name is Latisha Riddick. I represent We Matter organization, also the Stop the Violence Coalition team. My organization is an advocate for the people who are afraid to speak for themselves or who need someone to voice their opinion for them who are afraid to just speak up loud. I help organizations and team up organizations to try to figure out a solution to try to stop the violence in the community and try to prevent it from happening. You know
right,
who I am.
Right. Well, I know who you are. So now, sis, let me ask you something, because another thing that my family was personally affected by suicide. And the sad thing about it, a lot of our youth, and I wouldn't say it's actually suicide, because a lot of them is, you know, it's these acts are coming about through their depression, mental health, right? Their poor mental health. And then that is suppressed by the drugs and alcohol. That's right, sis. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So,
you're correct.
So, at this point in time, we need to, in order to even get our people to start understanding the importance of removing themselves from the violence of gun violence, we got the matter of healing in healing ourselves in the mental health department, and you know, so that we can get our people thinking on the proper level, because our children are instantly given psycho meds when they go to a psych or somebody for help, you know, to understand why their children are going through depression and suppression and things of this nature. Oh, well, they just give them psycho meds that make it even worse, to where the child feels, you know, even worse about himself. So, you know, how do you feel about that?
I guess that's a lot of people, I guess the way they learn how to cope with self, because it's the easiest way out, not judging a parent and giving their child medicine for one, but sometimes you got to try to dig deeper to figure out why your child is acting out or doing things that it shouldn't be doing, having display of bad behavior. A lot of kids suffer from PTSD. More than adults, we don't really understand
that's
that.
Right.
People figure that adults don't see more things than kids, and that's entirely not true. Kids see more stuff than we do and do not speak on it like we do. They're taught to shut up, stay in your place, and don't say anything. So a lot of kids
do a lot
of stuff and just suck in and don't say anything. And that'd be the biggest problem. A lot of kids are not taught to speak on their feelings or how they feel or what made you feel this way or why did you do this.
But now, sis, we have a society today that when you allow a child an opportunity to speak up, a lot of times these children, they take it to the next level. So how do you, you know, how do you say to the adult who's trying to allow his or her child a platform? And what would you say to this sister, Krista? Because you know you're a mother, and you have some mature daughters. You know, how do you how do you get your child to respect you while yet giving him a voice?
Okay, so I have like a range from 18 to 10. So my 18-year-old, I tell her you're a young adult, but at the same time you're still my child, and you're gonna respect me like my child. Sometimes you have to break it down far, not just a parent, but look at them like they're a young adult. Like, so I talk to her like she's 10. I talk to her like she's a young adult, that she can understand. You know, you're 18.
Right.
You're still my child.
Right.
And even if you're not my child, you're going to respect me because I'm grown. And I teach her the same way about other adults. Don't have conflict with women that are older than you because they're your elders. It's a respect thing because that's how it's taught. You don't disrespect people, period. Especially someone older, you always tell her as best as possible that she has a job. As best as possible, try to avoid conflict with people because it's disrespectful. So when I talk to her, I talk to her like a young adult. I talk to her and let her understand, like, if sometimes cause kids get out of pocket, we all do sometimes, but I wear a mirror, like, whoa, what you said, and she'll be like, I didn't say anything wrong. Like, to me, I received as you was being disrespectful. And she'll say, well, okay, I apologize.
Right.
And I talk to her like that.
Okay.
Sometimes the way you talk to a child helps them understand better than you telling them you're going to beat them or just snapping off.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. I can agree with that. But, Sister Krista, what would you say, you know, would you add on to that? Krista?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Me personally,
okay.
I have 3 girls, 21, 18, and then I have a 5-year-old. And
okay, you got a leak too.
Yeah. The biggest thing is repentance. Like me, I have to repent to my kids daily. I have to repent to them about the tools that I didn't have to properly because I'm not married. So I have to always apologize to them and show them that I'm not bigger than whatever the situation might be. I too make mistakes, and I too may give you wrong, you know, not have given you all the right advice, you know, or example in my walk. So, because they watch what you do, and they mimic what you do.
Right.
So I always encourage them to become their own, be responsible in what they say and do, and show respect to everybody and see the difference in everybody. Unconditional love comes with, you know, unconditional love comes with respecting someone's difference as well.
Right.
You can't always force feed your child to think like you think, or you say, oh, put on this butterfly suit and go dance in the church and they say, no, Mom, I don't want to dance. It's gonna be cute. Put this outfit on. No, you have to listen to your child as well, and you know, I let them vent. And then we bring it all the way back. Okay, we have
there
to come
go.
To
that's
some
right.
type of compromise. We have to bring to some type of respect while we're talking to each other. And we want everybody to be heard. And I have to sometimes apologize and say, you know, I was wrong for the way I handled it. Or they'll come to me and apologize. Mom, I was wrong for the way, you know.
Well, I agree with you both. But I believe
what?
That, you know, a lot
can
of.
Can I say this right fast? About that apologizing pocket, Crystal, what you just said, I do the same thing because I apologize to my kids and they be in shock. I think sometimes kids be in shock because a lot of people don't know how to apologize, and I do apologize, and they be looking at me like, why you apologizing for what you did? Because sometimes apologizing to them helps them understand that just because you're a parent don't mean you're always right about everything. So I apologize as well. And my son, he's a big apologist. I have 2 daughters and 1 son. My son and my youngest daughter apologize a lot. They acknowledge stuff more. The oldest one is a little bit more on the feisty side. But she's not disrespectful. But the little two, is like they acknowledge their feelings more. And they'll come and apologize more. So it's like both ways. But I felt useful. I didn't know them to hear another parent say, they apologize too, it's like, I think if more parents really do that, a lot of kids will probably be more comfortable with situations with parents.
And also teach your children to not expect others to apologize.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Everybody is not man
right.
enough
Don't,
or
want right.
to apologize.
Right. And they can't place that that expectation that they have of themselves, they can't look
nope.
for it to come from everybody else, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
So now, ladies,
let's take this. Now, what I've noticed, like, now, okay, that's a good thing that we just talked about. I like the point of views that you both brought out about the children, about allowing your child or, you know, giving your child that avenue to be, you know, to govern themselves, you know, and be recognized as, you know, a voice or, you know, someone. I think, you know, that helps a lot. And I like the way you both handle it. But now we have another issue in our community. I think we came to a real point there of understanding how we can bring some resolution there. That was good. But we have another issue that's starting to take height in our community in violence, and that's the domestic violence. There are a lot of young men who are seemingly not knowing how to tap into their emotions without their emotions taking over their thinking. And, you know, now that with these young men carrying and these young women now, and these young women who've been carrying and they had these license to carry and they busting off out here. You know what I'm saying? You ain't leaving me, nigga. And nobody gonna have
it's
you. I can't have you. You know what they
abandonment. People are afraid to be abandoned. My mama left me. My daddy left me. You know, I loved on you. I kissed on you. I did everything for you. I paid your bills. Blah, 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 and now you trying to leave me too? People are you know frustrated with the abandonment issue.
Okay.
And have abandonment. Okay. So
I
can't.
But when a person, you know, right now we have so many young people who are walking around with these guns, and the only way that they're dealing with it is like, you know, okay, we'll talk later, but now I'm going
to
shoot you. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Listen to this.
But
you know,
the mental state, like we were just talking about, is all in your mental state. If your mental state is not completely where it's supposed to be, anything to treat you to want to hurt somebody. If your mental state is not in a healthy state of mind, you cling to certain things in your life. Like, you cling to a relationship. You cling to drugs. You cling to running to the streets. If your mental state is not right and you're with someone else, they don't want to be with you, and that's what you're used to clinging to, and your mental state is not right. And, of course, for somebody who has a gun, who has a mental state that's unstable, and they know they have something that can hurt you, and you're hurting them by wanting to leave them, that's the first thing they're going to resort to because their mental state is not right. You can't tell me somebody who's in the right state of mind, their mental state is clear, want to kill you because you want to leave them. That's good.
Yeah, but when you say,
hurt, but
when
if
you
they're
say,
in the right state of mind, they just let they be hurt and keep it moving.
Hey, okay, Jay Shaw, do we got anybody else calling in? Jay?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Now, if somebody else calls in and they want to get in on this topic, just let them on in, okay? Now,
okay.
The thing that I'm saying, I get you, sis, but my thing is like, okay, because your mental state is going through a point of, you know, sadness or you're going through a point of, you know, depression, that doesn't mean that you're mentally ill. So
right.
Your mental state should not drive you to the point that you're killing somebody. Your emotions,
you
know, this is a person that you're saying that you love, yet you done went to the point that you're going to kill this person because they want to move on or they want to, you know.
That highlights conditions and unconditional, right? So their love was only based on the condition that you love me back. Unconditional love is that you could walk away from somebody and still want to see them do good with or without you.
That's right. Okay.
So everybody.
Okay, I totally agree.
And when you're put together, when it's not of the creator. If you get with somebody and the creator didn't put you together, you got together for all the wrong reasons, lust and security, then of course you're going to have chaos in it because it wasn't of God in the first place.
Well, I agree.
Okay.
I agree with what Krista just said, y'all, and what I'm saying, and I think what Krista's saying is that because we know that God brings everything together, whether it's good or bad, it's by His decree. But when you go into something, you should go into it with the intent of doing what is pleasing to God, what is pleasing to Allah. When you go into a relationship, first and foremost, if you're going into the relationship without first and foremost having the intent to take this woman as your wife, but yet you want to play house with her. You want to be the husband, but you ain't married. You walk around calling her wifey. She walk around calling you husband, and my husband and my wifey, and y'all ain't married. You understand what I'm saying? Like, these are the things of destructive behaviors that we interact with one another, which ends up taking us in the wrong path, you know, because we stake claim to one another in a way that is deceptive. We lying to ourselves right there. We already lying. We lying about the person we claim that we love. You know, we sitting there saying, you know, yeah, this is my wifey right here, bro. She ain't your wife. You ain't wifed her. You ain't wifed her. You understand? But the minute now that she want to walk away, you understand, you want to kill her. You know, because you feel like you got...
You don't want it on your face.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's crazy. So we really have to, you know, understand and get things together.
There's so many layers. There's so many layers to unpeel when it comes to relationships and domestic violence because it goes so deep as, you know, mama and daddy issues all the way to you try to embarrass me or you handle me wrong.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Because there are so many different layers.
Yeah,
that's right too, sis. But I'm going to tell y'all something that you may not know. See, statistic-wise, on paper, women are the ones majority in domestic violence, the victims. But in the reality,
you ain't. No,
men,
now women do.
Men
women,
are,
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. Now, women do abuse men a lot, but ain't no way. Men get abused more than women.
Now, verbally, what he's saying is, you emotionally, we'll tear a man down with our words.
Right.
And with,
yeah, that's what I was
right.
about to say.
That's
I'm
what
say.
I'm
emotionally, we'll tear you down with our words, but physically, men do the most, and we verbally abuse you.
I'm gonna tell you something that I learned when I was in the decision in the prison system, and we were doing you know, the conflict resolutions and all of that, right, and anger management. Statistically, you will find that more men withhold the physical violence that their wives or their girlfriends do to them because of their pride. They won't report it. They won't. They just because they're a man. You know, they're worried about, well, somebody going to say, oh, man, you mean to tell me you let your wife put her hands on you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't handle your wife, you know what I'm saying? Man, you weak like that, you know? So for a lot of men, since now I'm going to be 100 with you, a lot of men, and I can speak to this in truth myself because I was one of them. A lot of men don't like to tell people or express that, hey, my wife just put her hands on me, you know what I'm saying? No, because they too worried about what's going to be
the response.
So
I was the abuser. I most definitely was the abuser in a lot of my relationships. To be hit by a closed fist or by a man, I've never experienced that. But me, I would tear you up with a tree branch, a shoe, anything. So I was definitely.
Hey, look. You know why I'm laughing right now? Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know. Leticia need to, because, listen, I know both of y'all. Both of y'all my sisters. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, I don't want no trouble being the one of y'all.
You say what?
Dude, I don't want no trouble with either one of y'all.
It's nothing to be proud of because I know I could, like I said, my tongue is like a two-edged sword. If you know, but I know I can be powerful and I can speak life into a man and build him up just as much as, and that's what I had to learn to do. Why would I want my man to be torn down, weak, and walking with his shoulders slouched, you know, head hung,
and not to cut your speech, sis, but why would a man want his woman to be tore down and walking as if she has no esteem? You know, no man should want a woman who walks with a head ducked low like she's below him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when she was, like, that is ridiculous. You know, no man should want no woman. Yeah, your woman should naturally want to be submissive to you for the pleasure of God.
Right.
You understand? But that submission is not a submission. Yeah, that submission is not a submission of tyrants. You know what I'm saying?
That's-
to where you she being, you know, no. Subhanallah. I totally agree. Well, ladies, We had almost closing time. We got like 7 minutes. Leticia, is there anything real quick in like 60 seconds you want to say to the people? And I want to thank you for your contributions. And We Matter, your team was fabulous. Your team was fabulous. Your team was fabulous throughout the whole arrangement. I'm very grateful to have worked with your team. I love the sisters on your team. They're all elders, and I respect the queens. They're beautiful women, and I love the work that they've done. You know, do you want to? Is there anything you would like to say in reference to your We Matter and the crew that you do?
Pretty much, just to sum it up, I'm just out here in the community to just try to do whatever we can to try to make kids
That's right. Well, July the 1st, y'all. July the 1st, this is an event taking place, you know, Freedom Over Everything and Community United Focus. And guess who? We Matter will be organizing together, y'all, for July the 1st.
And my nephew, you forgot about him. And he'll go crazy because he told me he was sitting on a panel last night.
Yeah.
My nephew, yeah.
he did an excellent job. We're all organizing July the 1st. We're having an event, which is excuse me, Sister Krista, can you get me again? What is the title? What do we call it? Making the Family Whole Again. That is going to be Making the Family Whole Again. That is the basis of us having this event. July the 1st, we're going to be out there grilling hot dogs, hamburgers for the kids and the family, and we're going to try to have some veggie burgers. We're going to have some speakers come out there. We're going to have a bounce house. Vendors, if you're a vendor and you want to come out, please come out. We are asking that vendors do pay $30, and we are asking everyone to come out and contribute towards the nonprofit. Community United Focus and Freedom Over Everything so that we can solidify our 501c3s, okay? So, you know, please come on out and, join us and let us all come together this day on July the 1st, y'all, July the 1st. If you would like to participate and be a part of this conglomerate, please get in contact with me or if you're on Chris's page, or even if you are known of Sister Leticia, okay, please get in contact with us. You know, we are all here. We're all ready. And we're going to take any assistance. We're asking anybody that wishes to contribute, please do not contribute more than $50 to to the event because we're all working together and we don't want nobody hurting. It's a tough times, okay? So if we work together, we can do a lot more for our community than doing it individually. You feel me? That's what community is. You know what I mean? So we got like 4 minutes here, y'all. Jay Sean, do we have anybody else calling in?
I just wanted to say before we cut off, you know, I always enjoy our conversations, you know. I enjoyed also hear from Waukesha as well. Latisha.
And Brother Steve, y'all, don't forget Mr. Steve.
Oh, I see
yes,
Steve all
Mr.
the time.
Steve.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Mr. Steve. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
on.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, well, guys.
Yeah, I think what you're doing, you're focused on the right thing.
I'm gonna call you later, brother. Okay. My daughter keeps calling me, y'all.
Okay.
I gotta get off.
Okay.
Love y'all. Everybody, be safe.
You too, baby.
All right.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Mr. Steve. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, well, I think, you know, you're definitely on the right direction with Community United Focus. I mean, the thing of bringing the family together, you know, is, like, huge. I mean, with that, if you can accomplish that, you will be a hero. I mean, if that can be accomplished, it'll be the greatest thing, because that's been the one thing that the power establishment has always done, you know, with starting way back
that's right.
You know,
they've all tried to destroy the family. That's right.
Exactly.
So
yes, that's
the word. We got to close, Mr. Steve. So thank you again, and I hope to see you next week and join us again on Sunday, everyone. Thank everyone for calling in, and thank everyone for listening. You know, Point of Impact. That's right. Join your hosts, Ms. Krista and Mr. Malad, Derek Hansford, a.k.a. Minhaj. Y'all know what it is. And we want to give mad love to Katie Nadir. And what's the other brother's name, Krista? Kristen. Oh, my God. She must hung up. Well, I want to give mad love to the founders of Freedom Over Everything. Yeah. What's the other brother's name? Oh, that's the founder of Freedom Over Everything. And may you forgive me. My mind is blanked out.
Nadia, Kevin Dickerson, and Oliver Adams.
And Oliver Adams. Brother Oliver, peace, man. I apologize, but my mind blanked out. And I want to give a mad shout-out to my brother, Yaya Gasson. And also, y'all, if you have any mental issues with your children or things like that, please get in contact with Tomorrow's Change. That is Tomorrow's Change. Tomorrow's Change. You can find it right on Facebook. It has a page up there. Go to Tomorrow's Change. And you will find some assistance and help in getting your child some mental health. And trust me, they will not resort to medicines first. Okay? So please. You know, let's all do this together. Also, we want to give a big shout-out to, again, Stop the Violence team, Mr. Bilal and his team, and his wife. We thank you all for your sacrifices. And also, we want to give a big shout-out to the Safe Summer Project. The Safe Summer Project, please come and check us out. See what's going on with the Safe Summer Project here in Virginia and Norfolk for your children. And let's see what we can do to have a safe summer for the kids. We got to go, y'all. Hey, Jay Sean, you want to say anything to the people real quick?
Everybody just stay safe, stay safe, stay blessed.
Alhamdulillah. Krista, you good, sis?
I'm good. Peace and blessings to everyone.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah continue to guide us and keep us safe. And if we've said anything to harm anyone, please forgive us. But that was not our intention, and may Allah forgive us. May God forgive us. For surely we, if anything good has been taken from this show, let's give all the praise and thanks to God, okay, everyone? And let's all be safe, travel safely, and keep your head on the right direction. Remember, y'all, take this time to do something that will benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter, that will benefit your family and your community. Everyone, peace and love. Point of impact, y'all. See you next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, thank you.
Hello. Oh, that was a good show. It's good.